The Legend of Ko'olau is a national touring play written by Maui resident Gary Kubota that's been warmly received. Kubota, a former newspaper journalist, also wrote a ballad to highlight the story that takes place on Kauai's Kalalau Valley. Kubota is bringing the onstage production to Honolulu and Kauai later this month. He talks about his strategy to reach a broader audience via film.
It's a story about Kalawai Ko'olau, the legendary Hawaiian cowboy who took his family into Kalalau Valley because they had suffered from Hansen's disease, and there was a colony there. And at that time, he had to defy the policies of the government that had overthrown the monarchy, and they wanted to tighten restrictions. And so a deputy sheriff went in, and he had warned them that what would happen, and he killed the deputy sheriff, and so they sent an army, like more than 20 soldiers, about 30 soldiers, and then deputies to try and capture him. And the outcome was that he was successful in eluding them in the valley. And the story focuses upon love and survival.
In the past, you said that stories about this have been told through the perspective of his wife.
Yes, because his wife was the one who emerged after about 3 to 4 years from the valley after Ko'olau and his son Kalemanu died. And she was the one who told the story. And it's a rich story, but I wanted to present it from his perspective. So I did some archival research, too, found out that there was a Ko'olau who received an ili of land near a fort around the time of Ka'ahumanu. And that basically was in line with Ko'olau, who went to missionary school with his wife up until age 17. And so all of these kind of things fit into the sense of Christianity, but also into the Hawaiian culture of that era and how one feels conflicted when you have to try and reconcile the two. And I think that comes through in the play. And it also, what also emerges is his strong ties with the land and knowing nature and using nature as his ally in his fight to keep his family in Kalalau Valley.
And so why do you think it's important that we remember this story?
It's important because at the time of the overthrow, there was this whole argument going on saying that it was the people who overthrew the government were like the missionaries and sugar planters. They said they did it. It didn't involve the Marines because otherwise they'd be admitting that it was an illegal overthrow. But when they tried to go and capture Ko'olau, just themselves alone, they weren't able to do it. As a matter of fact, besides the deputy, there were a couple of other soldiers who were wounded, and then one who actually shot himself accidentally. And so it kind of brought out the incompetence of those people who claimed to be responsible for overthrowing the government and showed that without the landing of the U.S. Marines, that they wouldn't have been able to do it. And as I think many people know, the Hawaiian community, Liliuokalani did not surrender to the sugar planters. She surrendered in writing to the United States, hoping that the United States would return the government to her because they already had a treaty of peace. And something similar had also happened during the time, earlier monarchical era, when the British, one of the captains had taking control of the Hawaiian government, and the British, with the same relationship, had returned the government to the Hawaiians. So there was precedence there, and I think that this proves the point that one Hawaiian, a single cowboy, a very good shot, could defeat more than 50 soldiers and deputies. Right, if you had 20 Ko'olaus, imagine what would have happened.
Right. The resistance.
The resistance, yeah.
Yeah, so it is amazing. I know in stories that I've done, I believe some of those deputy sheriffs are buried at Oahu Cemetery. The British Restoration, I think, that took place at Thomas Square, I think, if I recall. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's just really interesting history that's woven around, I guess, this particular story and around that time. So this play that you're mounting then will be performed here again on Oahu and also on Kauai.
Yeah, and the thing about it is it's a native Hawaiian, Moranai Kanekoa. He's from Maui, and he was a UH Regent Scholar, and also he has a master's in drama from University of Southern California. And there's a Hawaiian portraying a Hawaiian, and I think Maura and I might have. He's told me that was the first time he's ever had a Hawaiian role when he acted as Ko'olau. Before then, when he was in Los Angeles, he did soap operas and he had to portray a Mexican. So, you know, this helps to build on hopefully his career and maybe give others the opportunity to act in the same role. Moreno was able to secure a starring role in Kuleana after Brian Cohn, the producer of Kuleana, saw Moreno acting in Legend of Ko'olau. So this is how things are done. You know, if you can support the theatrical play, then film producers will be more interested in doing these kinds of for film, because financially it's less of a risk when you see everybody attending plays. So that's why I think it's important for people to try and build on these kinds of opportunities.
Yeah, we did talk to Brian recently, so it's interesting just to see the thread and to see where it's gone, actually.
Going forth, we're going to be completing the film of the play, and then we're going to distribute it to various theatrical houses. And I think we have enough momentum going in terms of the people who have seen the plays and like the plays to be able to persuade people that, yes, this is the real deal. I mean, people like Anthony Sepulveda, who's the Warner Brothers vice president of casting, said the play was fantastic and Morna is great.
You took this play.
We took it to
traveling.
Los Angeles. Yeah, so he saw it in Los Angeles, and I didn't. Don't know who Anthony Sepulveda did. Just emailed us, you know.
Wow.
And then we took it to Berkeley. And out of that, the guy named Michael Keane, who works as a radio host for a Hawaiian music program out of that area, told some Martina Haleamau in Sacramento, you've got to see the play. So they called me up, and the consortium of Hula Halau sponsored us. And we sold more than 600 seats at the Sacramento Performing Arts Theater, and it was people were just blown away. Basically, they'd never seen anything like that.
People are hungry for this type of for these stories.
They are, and hopefully it'll encourage others to do the same. You know, back in the day, must have been at least 20 years ago, I was sitting down at a coffee house with W.S. Merwin after he had received the second Pulitzer Prize, and I was with Paula. His wife was there, and I started talking about how I tried to write a film script with a friend about Ko'olau, and you know we hadn't gotten it completed to my satisfaction, and he was just fascinated by it. And you know the way I said, listen, if you can do something, do it, you know, because this story deserves to be told, and it can be told from many different perspectives. But the more you do it, the better. And lo and behold, like about 5 years or 6-7 years later, I see Folding Cliffs in the bookstore. And, you know, I was just really gratified to see that. So
they don't call him Poet Laureate for nothing, right?
For nothing, yeah. And, you know, he had done some work. I mean, I went back into the archives again. There were some things there that hadn't been there before. So apparently it hadn't been pulled out. And I used some of that in my play as well. You know, Merwin was just an amazing person.
But I love that spirit of sharing the story, you know, because you recognize it as a good story, you know, as a journalist, and
right.
You're involved in telling it, you know, a certain way. But the fact that you encouraged other artists.
You know, sometimes when we're doing this as artists, we don't know if we're the fertilizer or the plant. And sometimes we're both like that. But whatever it is, it takes that kind of persistence and courage in order for things to grow. I hope that if people want to learn about how to do a touring play, especially if they're Native Hawaiians, they approach me because I can put them in contact with other theatrical houses. I can kind of show them kind of budget to create. Basically, I follow a certain kind of open door pattern. You know, as you know, like the book I wrote about Hawaii Stories of Change, about my early activism in Kukua, Hawaii, that's on free and it's on digital as part of the permanent collection at the Department of Ethnic Studies at the University of Hawaii. So, you know, people globally can read the book.
Yeah, but I think it's in that spirit,
yeah.
You know, sharing the mana. Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you so much, Gary.
Thank you.
to see the production of Legend of Ko'olau, check out the upcoming performances. It'll be at the Doris Duke Theater at the Honolulu Museum of Art on November 23rd and 24th, and then again on November 30th and December 1st on Kauai at the Porter Pavilion.